Hello, my name is Paul Hines. I pastor Mumfordville Baptist Church. Our church family is reading through the Psalms this year. We're reading five Psalms a week. And today we find ourselves in Psalms 11. Psalm 11, I'll be looking at this verse by verse. Here David is writing this psalm as a result of experiencing difficulty, personal, physical difficulty at the hand of King Saul or his own son Absalom. As David writes this, he reminds us of what is going on in his mind and what God is doing in the midst of this difficulty. Let's look at Psalm 11, verse 1. I have taken refuge in the Lord. The word refuge here is shelter or protection. Protection from danger or distress. We seek shelter when difficulties are coming our way, when weather is turning in a harmful way. We seek some type of a structure that would shelter, that would protect us from the danger or the distress that may be coming our way. He said that his refuge is in the Lord. His place of protection from danger or distress is God himself. This is not necessarily a physical trust as much as it is a trust by faith in the protection that only God can provide. Trusting in the reality that God is there and he will provide for our well-being, that's what faith does. It trusts not necessarily in what we can physically see, but in the reality that we know God is there. He loves us and he will care for us. Yet some people will give us advice to run away. It's what happens to David. How can you say to me, there in verse 1, how can you say to me, escape to the mountains like a bird? Some will give us advice to run from everything, including God. Some will depend only on what sight gives us and will depend on that sight so much that they will say, don't trust in something you can't see. Just get away. Just run. Just flee from where you're standing. Sometimes that's great advice. However, it seems in this indication that David is finding the conviction to stand firm and trust in the Lord. There are times when you and I must just stand firm, find our refuge in the Lord, and don't back down, don't bend, don't bow. Verse 2, for look, the wicked string bows, and they put their arrows on bowstrings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. There will be enemies that desire to take down the God-honoring, to remove conviction, to prove themselves right, or to advance their agenda. There are enemies around that we may seek to give wisdom, we may seek to give advice, and we may stand in direct opposition to them. And sometimes they'll remove us because they're removing what brings conviction. As we stand on and live by the truth, it will bring about conviction in the lives of those who are not. It also may be that they want to remove you to prove that they're right and you're wrong. And if they're still standing and you're not, then they're right. It may also be that they have an evil agenda, and you're trying to stand for what is God-honoring. And to remove you would mean that their godless agenda would be accomplished. There will be enemies that will seek to attack us, and they will seek to destroy the foundations we stand on. Verse 3, when the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The enemy seeks to dissolve the foundation of truth. That's what Satan has been doing from the very beginning. To cause us to question what is the truth. To cause us to try to believe lies versus the truth that God has given us in his word. How are those who walk with God to respond? How can the righteous respond when the foundations that we've been standing on seem to be eroding away? The answer is strengthen or reinforce the foundations. Go back to the fundamental basic truths that God has given us in his word and stand there. Stand on the fundamental truths of who God is and what he says. Stand there and God will give us courage. Verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord, his throne is in heaven. His eyes watch, his gaze examines the foundations of the righteous. Look up, is what David is doing. Look up. God is on his throne. He sees beyond the surface. He sees beyond all that is going on around us and examines everyone and everything. Oftentimes, our problems are getting larger in our own mind because we only focus on the problems. Instead of lifting our head toward heaven and fixing our gaze on the one who is greater than our problem. That's what David does. He says, look up. The Lord is in his holy temple. He's on his throne. It doesn't matter what these enemies are doing or how they seem to be attacking, or even if the foundations seem to be falling apart, God is on his throne. Trust him. He's looking beyond the surface of what's happening, and he examines the thoughts and the intentions of everyone's heart. Verse 5, the Lord examines the righteous, but he hates the wicked and those who love violence. He examines the righteous. It kind of gives us the idea here that he's examining to the point to bring out what is God-honoring, to bring out what would honor him and do best for our own lives. God examines the righteous and he hates evil. He hates the wickedness and those who seek to practice it. It's difficult here to read these words. The reality is God hates wickedness. God hates those who love violence. It's very troubling to be on that side of the wrath, the vengeance, the justice of God. Verse 6, let him rain burning coals and sulfur on the wicked. David here says that God, would you just bring about judgment on the wicked? It seems as though David is asking for God to bring a fire that would consume them and their deeds as a result of their wickedness, that would completely consume all of that they are doing and the results of all they're doing. At the end of verse 6, let a scorching wind be the portion in their cup. The dry, all-encompassing wind that dries up everything, that makes life hard, is what David is asking for God to do. Verse 7, for the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds, and the upright will see his face. God loves those who do right because he is right. They will see him and be in his presence and all that goes with it forever. It's a definite contrast here between what God loves and what God hates. God hates the wicked. The reality is, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are wicked people. We're sinful to the core. The only way that we will be counted as the righteous if we've been covered in the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. So before we seek to cry out for the wicked to be punished, make sure that we know where we stand in our own relationship with God. Recognize that those who are wicked are going to experience not just a momentary judgment, but an eternal judgment. As we see the devastation that happens all around us by consuming fires, we know that there is coming a day when every person who has not acknowledged Jesus Christ will experience eternal punishment in a fire that never goes out in a place called hell. May we be among those who are the wicked, pointing them to the glory of God and the graciousness that he has provided through forgiveness in Jesus Christ. May we find ourselves seeking refuge in the God of the universe. May we be able to see his face because we're covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ as we've cried out for forgiveness and desire to walk in his ways. May we find ourselves seeking God today in his face. Hope this devotion finds you walking with Jesus today. If there's any way I or Mumfordville Baptist Church can help you in that walk, please reach out to us on our website at mumfordvillebaptist.org. Hope you have a great week. God bless.